Begin the current Amid, Sech Tischun Dav Kof Lamed Zayin. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which is qualifying the parameters of this halacha of one of the Matnas Kuna of Reishis HaGez, which is every time the wool of the animal is shorn, there's a portion that has to be given to the Kohanim. Says the Mishnah, Reishis HaGez, Einanayik Ela Berachayim only applies to sheep. Says the Gemara, Menamidli, where do we know this from? How do we know it doesn't apply to any other type of animal? So Rav Chizki says, because Asi Giza Giza, we have a Gzera Shava, where it says shearing over here, and it says elsewhere. Ksivach, over here it says, Reishis Gez, Sain Chatitin Loi, the first of your, the shearings of your fleece, of your sheep, you should give to him to the Kayin. Now, Ksiv Hasim, it says over there in the Pasuk in Iyah, but it also says, Umi Gez, and from the shearing of Kavasai, of my sheep, Yisham, they'll warm themselves up. So, Malahal and Kvasim, just like over there, it's referring to sheep. Afkan Kvasim also over here where it says Giza, shearing, it's referring to sheep. Says the Gemara, Vanel of Giza, Giza, Mibachar. But, and we know whenever you have a Gzerah Shava, you can go stringently. How do you know to learn over here that it's only for sheep? Learn it out, a Gzerah Shava, from Bachar, from the firstborn, where even by Shar, we find in that pasuk a terminology of Giza, of shearing, and we should say, just like over there, Giza, shearing, refers to even an ox. Also over here, regarding the Reishis HaGez of the shearing given to the kohen, should even be an ox. How do we find this? Because the Tanya learned the Braisim. Says the pasuk in the Barm, Leisavid b'vchar sherecha, don't do work with the firstborn of your ox, v'leisagiz b'char tzenecha, and don't shear the wool of the firstborn of your sheep. Which, these are the b'chairis, the firstborn animals that have to be given to the kohen. No work is allowed to be done with it, it's a kachim. Now, says the Braise, only ele shirbavoy, the b'tzoy megizah. If I read the pasuk as is, it sounds like that, okay, you're just not allowed to work with the ox, and you're not allowed to shear the wool of the sheep. How do we know to apply each one's prohibition to the other type? That you can't work with the sheep and you can't shear the outside of the ox. That's why it says, don't work, and don't shear, which is coming to say that both of them have this prohibition of working and of shearing the fleece. So one thing you see, that this pasuk refers to gaze of the shear. So maybe we should learn from over there that the Reishis HaGez applies to Asher too. That says the Gemara, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk in the Varm that says, Reishis HaGez Tzenecha, that the first of the fleece of your sheep, says, Titin Lo, you should give him to the Kayin. Which means for him, for a garment for him to wear, V'loy L'Sakai, and not for his sackcloth. And the shearings of an ox is only appropriate to make sackcloth out of it, not to make garments out of it. And that's how you know that that's not included in the halacha of Reishis HaGez, and that's why we're not making Gzeirah Shavah from Bechar. But then that's the Gemara, but El Miata, if that's the case, then Noitzah Shel Izim, although Noitzah means feathers, we're calling the feathers of the goats, because it's not the custom to shear it, it's just to pull it out, just like a person would pull out the feathers of a bird. L'chaiv, by a goat, that hair that comes out should be obligated, because if the whole purpose is titan loy, that it should be appropriate for him. You can make a beautiful garment out of the outside of the goat that could also be used as made for a garment. It says Gemara, you're right, but in the giz of aleka, there's another halachic element over here. It says Reishis HaGez has to be the shearing of the wool. Here, by the goat, when you pull it out, when you pluck it out, you're pulling it out, you're not shearing it, you're not taking a scissors, you're not taking a tool, and therefore that won't qualify for shearing to be Reishis HaGez. On that, has to give away. Man Shamalei HaYisvar, who is it that says this type of a logic, who expounds in a literal way the words of the pasuk, like it says, Reishis HaGez has to be shearing, and therefore we're going to exclude the Neitzah Shel Izim, those hears that are plucked out of the goat. That's Rabbi Yisi, who the Gemara is going to quote later on, that he says regarding the halacha of one of the matnas anim of leket, regarding the grains, the stalks that fall down, the individual stalks, says leket kitzircha, the gatherings of the ones that fall down from your reaping, which he says specifically has to be when it fell when you were reaping, not when, let's say, you were pulling out a stalk and one fell down. That wouldn't be included in leket. So on that is the Gemara, but what the Gemara tells us later on, that even Meidir Rabbi Yisi, even Rabbi Yisi himself agrees, but Meidir D'Orche, that something, if that's the normal way, that will be included in reaping, even though you're not doing a reaping. So here also, since the normal way of getting the hair from a goat, not like a sheep that we're talking about up until now, is by pulling it out, so that is essentially its shearing, its giza. So then, therefore, that should be included in Halacha of Reishis HaGez. Why is it limited to sheep and not to goats? So El Rebbe says the Gemara, the reason why Reishis HaGez only applies to Rechelim, to sheep, is Kedamri B'Shum and Levi. As the Gemara brings later on the Perek, the Pasuk, when it talks about the halacha of Gez Tzaynecha, then the Pasuk continues and says, and you're giving it to the Kohen, Why? Ki vayivachar, because Hashem has chosen him, which Hashem has chosen him, as the pasuk then continues, lamed l'sharis, to stand and to serve Hashem. Which that tells us, regarding what does this have to do with reishis hagaze, is a dav haro l'sharis. What type of a gaze, what type of shirings are you giving to the kohen? That which he could stand and serve with. So chanami dav haro l'sharis, here also regarding this halacha, has to be something that he could stand and serve with, which the big day hasharis had tcheles. And that has to be made out of wool, which that's what the tcheles had to be made out of, which was wool and then dyed blue. And tzemer, to be considered wool, is only from rechelim, only from sheep, from goats. It's not called wool, and that's how we know it's specifically, as our Mishnah said, rechelim, and not that of goats, and like we said for sure, not that of shar. But then the Gemara says, okay, well then, ele giza giza, then this that we had initially brought, we thought the source for how we know it's for sheep is a gzeres shava from the pasuk in Eiv. So lemay asa, then what is that coming to teach us? It's not the source, because we just said the source is because it has to be a dav hara l'sheiris, which is only tcheles, which is only from tzemer, which is only from rechelim. Says the Gemara, it's teaching a different halacha, look at the Tanan Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanan Rabbi Shmuel is the Tanan, the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel taught the following Braisa, that says, Kavasim shet simran kasha, regarding sheep, that their wool is hard, just a different deviant type of a sheep that's different than old types. So in that says the Tanan Rabbi Shmuel is patum reishis hageis. Actually, such a sheep, its shearings will be exempt from the halacha reishis hageis. Shenemar, and that's what the Pasuk in Eiv is coming to teach, which is teaching us to regard an halacha reishis hageis, umegeis kavas liyischamim, that from the shearings of my sheep, they warm themselves up. So you see that gaze is only something that warms a person up. Yeah, we're not learning out the halacha of sheep from there. That's learned from somewhere else. What are we learning out from the gzeirah from that pasuk? Is that it has to be type of wool that would warm a person up. But if it's that harsh type of wool that won't warm a person up, then that's not included in the halacha of reishis hageis. Now going back to what we mentioned before, that of Rabbi Yisi, the Gemara says, Tanachada. We learned in one braisa that gaze is eso izim. If someone shears a goat, so he's exempt, like we said before, because gaze, shearing, is only that of rechelim, of sheep, which is something that's roed l'shiris, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, which is only tcheles, which is made out of a tzemer. So too, v'shaytif es rechelim, someone was washing out the sheep in water, in the river, to make it nice, and then some wool got detached from that, so pater, that wool that fell out of the sheep when it was being cleaned out in the river, is exempt from the halach of reishis hageis, because that's not gaze, that wasn't being shorn, that it just fell out. Now, the Tanya Yidduch, we learned, however, in another braisa that the first halacha agrees. Hagoyz as izim potter, if someone did the shearing on a goat, he's exempt. Like we said, it has to be sheep. B'shaytif es rechelim chayiv. But this braisa says that if you were cleaning out the sheep and some hair fell out, that is obligated in the halacha of reishis hageis. So the Gemara loikash, not difficulty. Ha rabbanan. The second braisa is the rabbanan. But v'ha, the first braisa says that if you're washing it out, you're exempt, and then some hair fell out. That's Rabbi Yisi, who, as we're going to point out, he's specific and literal in the pasuk, which has to be that you had been geizes, that you were shearing it, not just that it fell out. The Talmud learned the braisa. Pasuk in Mayikra, Yotes Tes, says, Leket Kitzircha, that the gleanings of your reaping, loy salaka, you're not allowed to gather, you have to leave it for the poor. Says the Tana, v'loy leket kituf, but that doesn't include the gleanings of when you were pulling out by hand the stalks of your grain, because what falls out then is not leket, because the precision of the pasuk is has to be kitzircha when you're reaping. Reaping is with a tool, with a sickle or something, but if you just pulled it out by hand, then that won't qualify for leket kitzircha, which, as we're going to point out soon, the Rabbanan disagree with this opinion. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he says, ain leket ela haba machmas kitzir. Leket is only something that comes from reaping. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisi, behind the Tanakama, he's saying the same exact thing like the Tanakama. Says the Gemara, yes, cool Rabbi Yisi, it's actually old Rabbi Yisi. V'achakam, and this is how you have to read the Braisa. Share Rabbi Yisi, because Rabbi Yisi says, and he's the Tanakama, that ain leket ala ba machmas kitzir, the halach of leket only comes from something that was reaping, and again, therefore, that's the machlegis we brought in the previous two Braises, if it has to be specifically that when you were either reaping or when you were coming to shearing, or even if it fell out, that if that would be qualified for the halacha of leket and also for the halacha of reishis hageis. Now, however, as we mentioned this before too, that Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Rav Ashi says, "Meider b'Yisi b'midi de orchid." Rav Yisi agrees by something that if that's the norm, for example, let's say onions and garlic, where plucking it by hand is its reaping. That's how it's done. That then Rav Yisi would agree that would qualify for the halacha of leket. The time like Linda Bryson, Rav Yisi, I mean, he says, Rashi says that we don't have that gears of the words of Yesi in this Braisa. But he says, but by default, obviously, that the Tana of this Braisa is Rabbi Yesi, and that's how the Pesukim are being expounded, because as the Tana is going to say, Einli Eli Ketzir, I would only know if it's literally the reaping. Now, who's that that says the precision of the words? That's Rabbi Yesi. And still, we're going to see that this Tana holds that if it's Midi De'urche, it would be included. But either way, Rabbi Yesi, I mean, he says, Ketzir. It says in the Pasuk, Ketzir Atzachem has to be the reaping of your lands. Now, Einli Eli Ketzir, I would only know if literally you were reaping with some type of a tool. But Eiker, let's say the person uprooted it with the roots. For example, like they do with lentils. Minayin, how do you know that that's also going to be included in Halacha V'Laket? Tamalim Alik, so we have a ribuy to include, in other words, the reaping that even if you uprooted it is also included. Or let's say Toilish. Let's say someone pulled it out by hand, but not with the roots. For example, like they do with beans, which Tosafot points out, the reason why we needed two extra psukim is because Eiker is a little bit more, when you're uprooting it, a little bit more the norm than just pulling something out without the roots. So Minayin, how do we know even that would be included if that's the norm, at least for this type, for the halacha of leket? Tamalemi bekutzrecha, another extra word to say that even that is included. But one thing we see, that we're obviously this time is repeating, that if it's something that midi de'urchi, even if you didn't do reaping, that's its reaping, and that would be included in that halacha. Now, Amalei Ravina Ravashi says, Afana Namantinin, he says, we also explicitly learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Peya that Rabbi Yisi agrees by what's called Midi De'urchi, something that if that's the norm, then that really qualifies for even the literal translation. Where do we find this? Because the Mishnah says that Malbanais, regarding rows of Bitzalim, of onions, Shebein Hayarik, that's subdivided, that's separated between different, if there's herbs, there's vegetables between the different rows, let's say I have an onion plantation, but between every bunch of onions, there's a row of vegetables. So Rabbi Yisrael, he says, pay him a kolach ve'echad. So then you take you have a halacha of separating the corner of the field for every row of individual rows of onions, because the vegetables separate between the rows are considered a heftik for the halacha of peya. We view it as if it's a separate field. Now the reason why it's a separation is because the irakas, vegetables, are not included in the halacha of peya, except for onions and garlic, which that's one of those that we're discussing, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Peya, that whatever is a food item and it's protected and it's stored away, so that is what's being included in the halacha of Peya. When it says that something that's stored away, that excludes vegetables, which don't last for a long time, except for garlic and onions, which do last for a long time. So it says Rabbi Yisi, so now each one is considered its own field, you have to separate Peya for each one. The Chachamim, they disagree, they say, no ma'achas ala kol, one payah for the whole thing is going to be included. They don't consider that as a hefsek, as if each one's now its own individual field. But one thing is that the Gemara is pointing out, you see according to Rabbi Yesi, that he's agreeing, everyone's saying that the onions are obligated in halacha of payah, the only machlokes was regarding, is each row now a separate field, or is it one big field still? But by onions, they don't reap with a sickle. Obviously, even though he says the halacha pay will apply, even though it says a terminology of reaping, is because midi de'urchi, that's the normal way how it's done, then that's considered the ketzira, and that, therefore that proves that same point, even from a Mishnah, the Rabbi Yisrael agrees by midi de'urchi. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, that we had this machloikis v'kamahu merubu. We said one of the stringencies of the previous parak's halacha of the matnis kuna of the Zerayel Chaim Nekeba over our halacha of Reish Zagez is that there it's even if it's just one, and here it has to be merubah. The Mishnah said v'kamahu merubah, how much is a minimum of the multiplicity of animals that are being shorn to require the halacha of Reish Zagez? So we had a machloikis v'sham b'sel if it's two or five. Now, so the Gemara asks, each one brought a pasuk. So Bishlam and the Bishlam, we understand according to Bishlam, the Tarti Nami Ikrit sign, that you're right. Beis Hillel brought a pasuk that was talking about five sheep and it said the word sign. But Bishlam brought a pasuk that you see by two sheep that is called sign. So therefore you can't remove that from the obligation of the pasuk of Reishis Agez, which says sign, to say that two is going to be sufficient for the obligation of Reishis Agez. But El Beis Hillel, my time, what's understanding of Beis Hillel? You have a pasuk that says the word sign, which is the source of saying how much is Reishis Gez of Tzainecha, that says two. What do you bring from a pasuk that says five? But there's a pasuk that says two already. So Rav Kahane, he says, because Amakra. The pasuk says, in the one that Beis Hillel brings, it says, Chamesh Tzayin, the five sheep, are Asuyais, which he's expounding just as the superfluous terminology, that what is Asuyais saying there in the pasuk? Is She'aisis Beis Mitzvahs. When there's five sheep, then that's something that makes two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs? Reishis Hagez, Umatanis. Then you have two mitzvahs of, oh, now you have five sheep, now you have to give the matnas kuna of the Zerayim L'Chaim Akeva of those sheep, and also the shearings of that wool. of those animals. Because as long as you didn't have five, then there's only one, which is only the matnas kuna. But you're not going to have the halacha b'yesh lageis. That's what we're learning off in the pasuk of asuyas. So that is the Gemara. I didn't know that's what the pasuk's teaching. Maybe when it's saying, oh, you know what the two mitzvahs are going to be when there's five sheep? Maybe it's the matnas kuhuna, and then you'll also have the halacha of the firstborn animal. How do you know it's teaching regarding rishus hageis? So now the Gemara answers, what do you mean? You think by the firstborn animal that when there's only, if you only have one animal, that wouldn't be obligated in the halacha of b'chayra, of its firstborn animal being given to the kohen? Obviously, when the Torah is saying something is being contingent on five sheep, it must be told by rishus hageis. So the Gemara answers, but all tamech, according to your reasoning, that it's obviously not referring to b'chayra, so matanas chadamila mechayva, isn't there an obligation also of when there's one animal for matnas kuna, zeraim lechem and the keiva, even if you have only one animal that you're slaughtering? So it comes out that you have two, even by one or two animals, you can have two mitzvahs. You can have the b'chayra and the matanas. So then you can't say that, oh, asuyas is coming to say, oh, when you can have two mitzvahs when you have five animals, because you have two mitzvahs even when you have less than five. You have the b'chayra and you have the matnas kuna. As Rashi points out, well, maybe we should say that asuyas is saying three mitzvahs, which, oh, only then you get the third mitzvah of Rish Lageis. You can't, because asuyas, we're saying because of the plurality. And the plurality only tells us two. So it can't be telling us two. So what's the source of five when you have a pasuk that already says two and you use the terminology of tzayin, like Bishami brings? So Elamar Ravashi really says, no, this is how you should expound the extra word of asuyas that Basil is learning out over here, teaching the source of Rish Lageis of only when there's five sheep. Because when it says asuyas, that it's made, is shema'asis balein, that it makes the owner now enter a new category of a new mitzvah which he didn't have when it was less than that. Which va'aymis le'kum asa mitzvah, which now, when he's having five sheep, tells him, get up and fulfill this mitzvah. Now that obviously must be talking about rishis hageis, because that's where it says the terminology of it's saying a flock, which sounds like a lot. Because in contrast by b'chayru, where it says b'chayr shar, that sounds like even one. And so the matnas kuna says him shar mseh, which sounds like even one. What is the pasuk saying Shema Asis, that by five, the only one left, is going to tell us Rish Lageis, and that's how we know that it's five, and not like the pasuk Bishami brought that of two. Now, however, Tanya Lina Brice actually a third opinion. And the Girsa takes out the word debate. He says the name of his father, Rabbi Yasi, that actually Arba, the halacha of Rish Lageis, is not like Bishami of two, or like Basil of five, but rather it's when you have four sheep that are being shorn. Shanema, like it says the pasuk in Shemais. We also have the word sign, where it says va'arbat sain, the four sheep, tachas says in place of the lamb, which in by halacha of tavach hamacha, when someone steals a sheep and then he goes and he sells it or he slaughters it, he has to pay what's called dal bahay, four or five times the amount, four for sheep and five for an ox. So you see the word sain by the word arba, so that tells us the halacha of geiz sainecha is also going to be when you're shearing four sheep. Now, Tanya Lutin Abrai said, Omer Rebbe, he commented on this and he says, il mali, and the mefarshim bring down to have with a yud, il mali divrehem, were it even to be that the words of Bisham Basila were Divri Torah, were sourced in the Torah, the Divri Beribi Kabbalah, and that the words of the Great One, who's referring to Rabbi Yasi, who the Gemara tells us, Nimuka Imai, his reasons were always with him, that he was the Great One in the generation. Even if his interpretation was only Kabbalah from the words of Nach, still, says Rabbi, Anan Divri Beribi Shemin, we would still listen to the words of the Great One of Rabbi Yasi, which the Gemara initially assumes the reason is because he is the balancing, what's called the machria, between the two of them. Meaning, he's not at five like Basil, and he's not Beshame like two, he's somewhere in the middle. So since he's the middle between them, the Gemara initially assumes that's why Rabbi said we would anyway say like him. But says Rabbi, V'chal Shekin, but all the more so, Shedivreim, Divri Kabbalah, their sources are sourced in words of Nach. They bring it from different psukim, which is not in the words of the Chumash, and v'divrei b'ribi divrei Torah, and the words of the Great One is in the words of Torah, where Torah's Moshe, the five, what's called the five books of Moshe Beinu, the Chumash, is called Torah because it was given to the future generations, which is from the term of Hira, of teaching. Whereas by the prophets, the Nevi'im, it's called Divri Kabbalah because they received it from divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, every prophecy for the generation and for the moment, what was necessary at that time. So therefore, that's a greater source. So he says, anyways, we would have said like him. But for sure, he's coming from the words of Torah. For sure, we're going to say that Allah is going to be four sheep. Now, but the Gemara asks on the assumption that we mentioned before, why did Rebbe say that even if he was Divri Kabbalah, we would have said like him, which the Gemara assumes is because he's the Machriya, but the Master said, Ein Achra Shlishas Machras, when one opinion is saying like this, another opinion is saying like something else, and then someone else says a third opinion, even if he's in the middle between the two of them, that's not considered the machri. That's not considered the somebody that's going to weigh it, that it's going to be two against one, and that we're going to say like him. For example, like the Gemara brings in Pesachim Nevchafim a base regarding halacha. If someone leaves a barrel of truma uncovered, so Bishamai says you have to spill it all out. Bishamai says no, you could use it to pour that on the ground. You have in that aroma of the wine on the ground. Now, Shmuel Breizi says, I'm gonna decide between the two of them. That's somewhere in the middle. By a field, if the barrel's out in the field, then you spill it all out. If it's in the house, oh, then you'll do zilif, then you'll sprinkle it on the floor. So they said to him, in achrosh lishas machras, a third opinion, even though he's somewhere in the middle, that doesn't, it's not like he's the middle and like, oh, that's the best of both. Because what is a case of achra? That's, for example, in a different halacha, which is the leniencies of a rag, which the Gemara in Shabbos Chof Tes Menalf talks about. Rabbi Eliezer says, whether it's prepared, whether it's not prepared, it's tamei. And Rabbi Shua says that no, whether it's prepared or whether it's not prepared, it's tar. Rabbi Akiva says, somewhere in the middle, says, if it's prepared, it's tamei. If it's not prepared, then we don't consider it significant, then it's tar. Now, that Rabbi Yechanan said, oh, whenever you find two disagreeing and one's being machriya, then, that's going to be the halacha like him. So you see, such a case is the machriya. Why? Because when the two disputants revealed in their statements that it would be possible, this concept of differentiating between being prepared or not prepared, what's called muchen or ena muchen, and still they say, but we don't differentiate. I say in both cases like this, and I say in both cases the opposite. And then Rabbi Kippur comes and he differentiates between the two of them. That's being machriya, because they both mentioned that that would be a significant element. They just said, but still we don't hold like that. So in the case of when he's machriya by muchen, which is like Rabbi Eliezer, so it comes that now you have two that are saying that it's tamei by muchen, and Rabbi Shua is a yachid, so it's two against one. And so to the opposite. When ena muchen, he's saying like Rabbi Shua, so you have two saying it's tar by ena muchen, and therefore it's going to be like him in both of these cases, because he's with the one against the other one in both cases. But regarding the case of the barrel, like we brought in the Gemara B'Sachim, where B'Sham Yisrael did not say anything that they would differentiate between if it's found in the house or in the field. Because it doesn't say, oh, Bishame said, whether it's in the house or whether in the field, you spill it all out. Mesil would say, oh, whether it's in the house or in the field, you should do Zilov. And then the third opinion would differentiate. Then that would be Machriya. But they didn't say anything of that. So therefore, a third opinion, although it seems to be finding a division between the two, is not Machriya. It's just a third opinion. Because the word Hechra is like a scale. And when you have two disagreeing, and then the third one comes and weighs down the scale, like one of them, either totally or half like this and half like this, he's weighing it down because he's going with that one, that opinion, which that person already mentioned that element, that would be machriya. So that's what the Gemara is asking. The fact that he's saying four, and it's between Bisham and Bisil, but that's not agreeing with some element of one and agreeing with some element of the other, it's a totally third opinion. So why would Rebbe have said what we would have said like him anyway? So the Gemara says, as a continuum of Beis, he says, you're right. Amar B'Yechanan says the reason what he would have said like him is for a different reason. Is Mepi Shmua Amra. Rabbi Yisi had said over his teaching that it's four from a tradition. Mepi Chag Yizchar Malachi, from prophets Chag Yizchar Malachi. That's why the halacha would have been like him, even though he would have been coming from Divrei Kabbalah, but especially since he's coming from the words of the Torah, of Torah's Maisha, therefore that's why the halacha is like him, says Rabbi, which the amount of Reish Lageis is when there's the shearing of four animals, not five and not two. Now the Mishnah had said, a machlekes regarding what is the, that when the Mishnah was going in the opinion of Bisil, that has to be five sheep. But then there was a machlekes regarding, so how much has to be shorn, that's the minimum of then there's an obligation of giving the Reish Lageis to the kain. So he said that when there's a mono pras, a mon and a half of each one of those five being shorn, then you have obligation. Bechulu, etc., where there was a machlekes, where the Chacham said, no, even a kosher, even a minute amount. Says the Gemara, Kama kosher, and how much is whatever it is? What were they? What's that minimum that they were saying? Which is obviously less from the Zman Hurganus. How much is that from the five sheep that has to be shorn that there would already be an obligation? So Amarav, he says it's mono upras, meaning the Chacham is saying the same like the Zman Hurganus, but not of each one, of all five together. If the shearing of all five together is a weight of a man and a half, that's the obligation. But as long as it's split into fifths, that each one of them is 7.5 slime, which that would make for a total of a mon and a half, because a mon is 100 zuz, which is 25 slum. So that comes out for a total of 37.5 slum. So that would be the halacha of the Chacham, where a total is a mana and a half, not each one. Another interpretation of Shmuel Amri says, Shishan. If it's a weight of 60 slum that's being shorn from these five animals, that's the kol shehu. And v'nisin sela achas l'kain. And then 1/60th of that, one sela, is what's given to the kain. Which later on the Gemara is going to ask, and that's from the halacha of a Mishnah, seems to say not like that. A third interpretation, Rabbi Bachan Amr B'yechan, and he says, Sheish. If what was shorn was a weight of 6 slum, that's what the chamim when they say kol shehen. And then you give from that l'kayin chamisha, you give the kayin 5 slums worth, as our Mishnah taught that explicitly. And then echad loy, and then that 6th sela weight is taken by the owner. Now, but this halacha would apply even if they had shorn 1,000 slum worth, that it would be enough to give 5 slum worth to the kayin, but the minimum is 6, and then if it was 6, then 5 out of that you would have to give to the kayin. Another interpretation, Ulamir Belazar, he says, no, kol shein sheninu. We learn in the Mishnah, whatever it is. Even if the shearing was only one sela, that's already from 5 sheep, that would be an obligation according to the Chachamim of the halacha of giving a reish zageiz to the kain. Now the Gemara asks on these interpretations. Now, we learned in our Mishnah that said, okay, so that tells us how much is the minimum for now that this obligation starts, 5 animals, and then, okay, how much weight of wool has to be shorn? Okay, either that each one has to have a month and a half, like Reb Deis ben Hurkanus, or like the Chum said, even a kalshu, which we just had a machlekes, exactly what does it mean kalshu? Then the Mishnah seems to continue and say, okay, but kama noishnoi. Now, how much of that, now that the obligation is, how much of that has to be given to the kain? So that said the Mishnah, Mishkel Chomish Lam Bihuda, in Judea, in their weights, you have to give 5 slum weight of worth of weight of the fleece. Shein Eses Slum Megalil, which in the Galil, that is 10 slum worth of weight for in their measures of the fleece. So that has the Gemara. So Bishleim LaRav, we understand we could explain this halacha of the Mishnah according to Rav, where Rav didn't talk about in his interpretation how much has to be given to the kain. So you could say that he also held like the halacha of the Mishnah, that from that 37 slum, which is the obligation, 5 out of those slum will be given to the kain. Fine. Rabbi Yechanan is also good because he also said clearly that the obligation starts with a minimum of 6 slum worth, and he said, even if there's only 6, you'll give 5 of that to the kain. If you have 1,000, also 5, but that also works out for the halacha of the Mishnah. So Nichid's good. But El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, that he said that, okay, there's 60 slum worth, that's the obligation, and one out of that 60, one sela, you're going to give to the kain. But the Mishnah clearly says that you have to give 5 slum. And Rebbe Lazar, who he said it means literally a kolshu. Well, kasha, it's difficult because how are you going to give if, let's say, all the shearings was one sela, which Rebbe Lazar said that's still going to be obligated. How are you going to give 5 slum worth out of one sela worth of shearings? So the Gemara says, but ultameich, according to your reasoning that you're saying, okay, it's only difficult according to Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar, but it's good according to Rav and Yechanan. But ulrav meinicha, is it really good according to Rav? But we have another teaching by Rav Shmuel Damer Taveya that they both said that Reishis HaGeiz is B'shishim. The obligation of the shearings that goes to the Kayin is 1 out of 60. So the difficulty is as follows. Since Rav said that the obligation is going to be that a total of a mana pras from all 5, which we said that comes out to 37 and a half sloim, that's when there's the obligation of Reishis HaGeiz, if it's coming from 5 sheep. So if you take off 1/60th, it's going to come out that from the 30 slum, you'll have a half a sela, and for the remaining 7 half slum, you'll have a little bit. That's not going to be the minimum of 5 slum. And as Rashi points out, even according to what the Gemara ultimately is going to conclude, that there's even a bigger mana, which is 40 slum, not just 25 slum, it's still going to be, at the most, 1 sela. And we said in the Mishnah that you need 5 slum to give to the kain. So how does it work out for Rav? So rather, says the Gemara, the truth is that yes, the halacha, like Rav and Shmuel, we just quoted, that they said that Reishis HaGeiz is always 1/60th of what was shorn, whether you shear a lot or a little bit. Now, although the Mishnah said that you have to give to the kain 5 slum, that's not going back on what the Mishnah had just said. It's actually going on a different halacha. Meaning, we had said an explanation of this statement of the Mishnah that Rav Shmuel Damer Tavayi, they both said, you know what it's talking about when the Mishnah says that you have to give 5 slum? It's talking about Bisrael Shishli Gizin Harbeskin. It's talking about a Jew who had so much shearings, which he had many animals and he had with tons of wool, where if he would give a 60th, he would have enough to give to many Kehanim. He could give to who knows how many kahanim. Umavakish litan lekayin. Now he wants to give it to the kahanim. That would vaminli we tell him. Okay, you're giving out. You have tons to give out. But kolchad v'chad lo yisavatzel mechamesh slam. Each coin that you give to, don't give him less than 5 slam worth. Why? Since you have a lot to give, then you have to give a bona fide nesina. That's a real bona fide gift. That's when we said you give 5 slam. But you're right, if the shearings is a little bit, then whatever it is, you'll give 1/60th. There's not a minimum of 5 slum. It's only you have so much. So when you're giving out, give each one 5. Don't give a million one. Give less than that and give them each 5 slum. And therefore, it's not difficult on the interpretations that we brought because it's not going on the minimum. The minimum could be even less than that. Now, Gufa, we had learned, we quoted this halacha, which we had introduced to ask the question from. The Gemara now says the whole statement. Rav Shmuel Dami Tabai, they both say, Rashis Agez B'Shishin, like we said, the shearings of the wool, 1/60th is the matana for the kohen. So to Truma B'Shishin, by a person's grain, the new grain, the halacha of Truma giving to the kohen is also 1/60th. And Pei B'Shishin, the halacha when a person has a field that he's reaping it, he has to leave over the corner of the field. How much? 1/60th of the field, that's for the poor people. On that, the Gemara has Truma B'Shishin, is really Truma 1/60th of the person's grain. But we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says Truma, Ayin Yafa, a generous eye, is Echad Marbam, he gives 1/40th of his grain or whatever he's giving Truma on to the kohen. So how could Rabbi Shmuel say their measurement in what's called the Ayin Ra, and someone who's stingy who only gives 1/60th when we see the Mishnah says it should be 1/40th? So this Gemara, it's not difficult. Deraisa B'Shisha, because really biblically one only has to give 1/60th. And that's what, when the Mishnah there says that Ayin Ra, someone who's begrudging, gives 1/60th, because that's the obligation. And Rabbi Shmuel were coming to say the biblical obligation. And where do we find actually that that's a biblical obligation is 1/60th? It's actually a pasuk in Yechezkel that it's alluded to, where it says that a sixth of an eifah from a chimer of wheat, or a sixth of an eifah of a chimer of sa'irim, that's what you have to give to the kayin. Now, a chimer is 30 sa'. An eifah is 3 sa'. A sixth of that is a half a sa. So when you take out a half a sa of truma from 30, that's 1/60th. So you see a source for that, that's 1/60th. So really, biblically, you only have to give 1/60th, and that's what Rabbi Shmuel were talking about. The Rabban and Barabam, that Mishnah Maseftas Trumas, is talking about regarding that the Rabban and the rabbis then later came and they instituted that for to be a generous person, one should give 1/40th, and the middle type of person gives 1/50th, and therefore it's not a contradiction. But not the Gemara is really, is the Raisa B'Shishim? Is that what Rav and Shmuel were talking about? They were talking about the biblical law, which is 1/60th. But Rav and Shmuel said, Chita achas, one kernel of wheat, Poteres HaSakri, exempts the whole pile from the halacha of Truma. Because it just says, Reish is the gantcha, the first of your grain, it doesn't give a measurement. It's even one thing. How do you say that the biblical obligation is at least the 60th? So the Gemara says, you're right. Deraisa kedishmo. Biblically, the minimum obligation is like Shmuel, who even with a minute amount, you can exempt yourself an obligation of Truma. The Rabbanon b'dayraisa, but then the rabbinic measurement that they said regarding biblical truma, for example, what's biblical truma is dagan, tirish, and yitzer, grain, wine, and oil. That's where they said, okay, that should be achas marabam, one should give 1/40th. But then the Rabbanon b'drabbanon, but then the rabbinic measurement in their rabbinic truma, for example, the fruits of a tree and vegetables, which they're not biblically obligated, that's rabbinic truma, that's where it's going to be b'shishim, that's where it's going to be 1/60th. Now, therefore, by Divul, it comes out, as Rashi explains, that must be that the allusion in that Pasuk Yecheskel was going on the stingy ones who are giving, where, again, although biblically you have to give just a little amount, but then, even biblically, you should give 1/40th, but the stingy, the begrudging ones, they give 1/60th. Now, the Gemara asked on the other halacha, Rabbi Shmuel, Peya B'Shishim, is the corn of the field 1/60th of the field left over for the poor? But what's now we'll learn, the Mishnah Masechtas Peah that says, Eilu Devarim Shein Lahem Shir, which everyone knows saying Birchas HaShachar, by Birchas HaTorah, that these are things that don't have a measurement. There's no specific measurement. HaPeah, the corner of the field. Vabikurim, and the first fruits. V'Hare'eyon, which is appearance. Shagamar Chagigit Avzayin Menalf explains that there's an obligation to appear in the Sholosh Regalim in the Azar. So that's what the Mishnah there is saying, that as many times as a person wants to appear in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Yom Tov, he's allowed to come, and then he brings the Oilus Re'i with him again. Now, truth is, even the carbon itself does not have a measurement regarding its monetary obligations, whether it's a lot or a little bit, biblically, but the sages said, at least regarding the carbon, that the Oilus Re'i should have at least a ma of kesef, and the Karmach HaGiga should have shtei kesef. But we see that that's one of the things that doesn't have a shear, so pay is one of them. So how can you say you have to have 1/60th? Says the Gemara, you're right, Dari Raisa, in Lashay, biblically there's no measurement, even the small amount is fulfilling it. But the Rabbanim B'Shishim, the Mishnah is talking, the Halacha of Rabbi Shmuel is talking about regarding it rabbinically, that then rabbinically it should be 1/60. Now, in contrast, however, Truma, even though it seems to be then the same idea as Peah, where biblically we also said you could exempt yourself even with just a minute amount and should be also Ein Lehem Shir, so that Rashi says, no, although that a minute amount would exempt a person from the death penalty for having eaten Tevel, but initially, as we mentioned, the measurement is alluded to in the Torah that you should be giving 1/50 or 1/60. As a Brisa teaches, the Rabbis, he says, how do you know Truma should be 1/50? Because it says, regarding the way the war they waged against Midian in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, Tikach Echad Achaz Min HaChamishim, take 1/50, which is saying that a percentage that I told you over here should be the same somewhere else, which refers to Truma. And how do we know if, let's say, someone went and took and they only took 1/60, that he doesn't have to do it over again? So that's what the Pasuk says, V'zaysa Torah, V'zaysa Truma Asher Terimu, Shisha Sa'ifa Mechem Achid, in the Pasuk we brought before, which that tells us 1/60. But one thing we see that even biblically it's alluded to that there is a measurement, therefore that's not going to be included in the halacha of even biblically that Ein Lehem Shir like the halacha of Peah. But again, that's what we're saying, that Peah, biblically, you write Ein Lehem Shir, but rabbinically, that's what they were saying, requires 1/60. Now, that the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, then Maikamash Milan. Then what is Rabbi Shmuel coming to say? Tanina, that's taught in the following Mishnah, Masechtas Peah. Says, Ein Peichsin LePeah Mishishim, we don't give in the field less than the 60th of the corn of the field for the poor. Afa Pishamra, Peah in Lashir. Even though they said the Peah doesn't have a measurement, that's biblically, but the next Mishnah says, but rabbinically, it says you should leave 1/60. So we already know that from the Mishnah, what is Rabbi Shmuel then teaching us? Says the Gemara, in the Hasan Ba'aretz, that Mishnah is told about regarding when it's an Eretz Yisrael, which is biblical. Hacha b'chutzlaretz. Rabbi Shmuel is adding on, even out of Eretz Yisrael, where that halacha pay is only rabbinic, even there they were saying that rabbinically we should have 1/60 of the field for the poor. Now the Gemara brings a story relating to these halachas of Reishis Hagez. Ki salik isi barhini, when isi barhini went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechen, the Gersa takes out the Lamed, Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan encountered isi barhini, the komasni le'lebre, that he was teaching his son the halacha of our Mishnah. And Mishnah said that five rechelim, that when there's five sheep that were shorn a month and a half of each one, and there's five of them, that was the halacha of Reb Daisim and Herkenes, that then you have to go ahead and give rishis hageis to the kain. Now, Amalei, Reb Yechanan said to him, Asniye rechelis, teach him not rechelim, but rechelois. He was correcting him on the diktuk. So Amalei, Isi said to him, what do you mean, kedichsev? But there's a pasuk in Bereishis that says rechelim asayim. You see, it says rechelim, not rechelois. So why tell me to tell him Rechelois? So Malay Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Loshen Torah la'atzma, Loshen Chacham la'atzma. Biblical terminology is different than rabbinic terminology. Biblically it's Rechelim, but rabbinically it's Rechelois, and therefore you should teach him Rechelois. Now the Gemara continues with their conversation, the Amalei, that Rabbi Yechanan said to Isi, Man Reish Shidra B'Bavel, because he had come up from Bavel, Teretz Yisrael. So he asked him, who's in order of the teachings of the organization of learning in Bavel, meaning who's the Rosh Hashiva? So Amalei said to him, Abba Richa, the tall Abba, which he was calling Rav, this that he's tall because he was the tallest in his generation, like the Gemara says, Nidna the Chavda Alman Beis. So Malays Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Abba Richa Karisle, you're calling him the tall Abba, the tall one, and you don't say Rabbeinu, our teacher, like an honorific way? The Chirna, Rabbi Yechanan, I recall that when Rav was still here in Eretz Yisrael before he went down to Bavel, he was way more chashav, way more distinguished than me, where when we were sitting in front of Rebbe, that Kadhavi Yesivna Achar Yud Zayin Shurin Achari the Rav. I was sitting 17 rows behind Rav, which every row higher up was a greater sign of distinguishment, and Kamei the Rebbe when we were in front of Rebbe. V'nafki zikukin denur mipumi the Rav lepumi the Rebbe. And there were sparks of fire coming forth from the mouth of Rav to the mouth of Rebbe. Umipumi the Rebbe lepumi the Rav, and fire, sparks of fire coming out from the mouth of Rebbe to the mouth of Rav, meaning when they were getting toiling in the words of halacha, and says Rabbi Yechanan, I didn't even know what he was saying. V'at Abba Richa Karsa, and you're calling him the tall Abba? How could you speak like that about the Gadol Hadar? Now the conversation continued. Amalei Ihu, so Isi said to Rabbi Yechanan that Reishis Hagez Bekama. So how much does there have to be shorn that then there would be an obligation of Reishis Hagez to give to the kain? And he says, Beshishim. Says, when you have 60 slum worth of weight of fleece, then there's the obligation starts. So now he asked him, but Vanan, Bechoshenetan, but we learned in the Mishnah, the opinion of the Chacham is even a minute amount. What are you saying, 60 slum? So Malay said to him, and this was the Machlekes we had earlier, we said that there are these different opinions. So he said to him, "Im kein, if that's the case, that if I don't know how to explain the Mishnah more than you, and I would also just read it literally like you do, ma bein li lecha, then what would be the difference between me and you? What would make me the gadol hadar? What would make me greater than you?" In other words, he was telling him that I have a tradition that it's not precisely a kol shehu. It's only because Reb Deisa said a great measurement, which is shiur rabba, so the rabban then said a small measurement. But they were exaggerating when they said even a kol shehu. It has to be at least at the 60 slum worth, so that the kohen who's going to get 160 is at least going to get one sella, because less than one sella, everyone agrees it's not going to be a valid nesina, a giving of the reishis hakis. Now, thing is, since the Gemara Kiyasa of Dimi Amor, when Rav Dimi came, he said that Reishis HaGeiz, what's the minimum obligation? So that is a machlekes. And we mentioned this machlekes earlier. But he quotes it as Rav Amar Bishishim. Rav said, which either he means to say that 1/60th has to be given to the Kohen, or another interpretation is that 60 slum is the obligation of, that's when the obligation of Reishis HaGeiz starts. But Rav Yechonim Shem Rav Yanei Amar, he says Bishesh, with 6 slum. Now, Amalei Abaye L'Ravdimi, so Abaye said to Ravdimi, okay, Anches Lan Chada, he says, one of the words you said, that could stand, but now V'Akches Lan Chada, but one of your other statements now made it difficult for us. Why? Bishlem Ed Rabbi Yechanan, we could understand, we had a tradition which we mentioned that, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that it's saying that it's 60 slum, Ad Rabbi Yechanan, on a different opinion, which had said that, even that, what does a kol shehu means? It means 6 slum, which we had quoted in previously, that 5 goes to the kohen and 1 goes to him. So that we can understand, like kash, it's not difficult. What is it, 60 or is it 6? Hadideh hadirabi. That his own opinion is saying one thing, and the one that you just quoted, Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Yanai, that's in the name of his teacher. So he's saying 60, and his teacher says 6, so that's not difficult. But el derav, but the teaching of Rav that is saying that it's 60 that you just quoted, Ad Rav Kash, is difficult on the other tradition we had from Rav. Because the Amar Rav, we quoted him earlier, that he said, Man Upras, said that the total of the 5 sheep that's being shorn is when you have a total of a man and a half, which is 37 and a half, that's going to be the obligation of Reishis HaGeiz. Now the difficulty is, but if, like you're saying, that the obligation of Reishis HaGeiz is 1/60th, so what's 1/60th of 37 and a half slime? The coin's not going to get even a sella. And no one says that something less than a sella would be significant enough for be the shear of Reishis HaGeiz. So how do we resolve that? So that says the Gemara, no, derav derav nami likash. He says, no, it's not, even in Rav, the two different traditions are not difficult. Because my mana dekama, what did Rav mean when he said a mana upras? It's ben arboim slum, as we referred to this earlier. It's not a regular sella of 25. It's a mana of 40 slum. There is such a big mana, as the Gemara is going to quote later on. The Havale, which that comes out, a mana and a half of that, as a continuing top of Kaflam and Chesem and Aleph, is Beshishim. That would be a total of 60 slum. And yeah, 1/60th of that will be a sell, and that's significant enough, and that's what's going to be given to the kain. On that, the Gemara asks, the Tani Tana, is a Tana going to be saying such a uncommon case of mana ben Arboim slum, of a mana that's 40 slum? Because when Rav said this halacha of mana uparas, he was obviously going on that Reb Deisa had said that you need a mana and a half of every one of those 5 sheep. And at that, Rabban would disagree and they say, no, kol shehein. So Rav was explaining, what does the Rabban mean, kol shehein? He means whatever it is between the total of all of them could be a mana pras. But it comes out that means to say that Reb Deisa, who says each one, when he said mana pras, was the same thing that Rav is explaining. So if Rav is explaining the case of a mana that's a 40 sella mana, that means Reb Deisa is also. So Atana is talking about such a uncommon case. Says the Gemara, and yes, although generally a mana is 25 slum, there's a different mana that was 40 slum, and we find a Tana like that because of a Tanan, which is actually a Braisa. Learn the Braisa, it says, Chemes Chadasha. If someone made a new purse made out of leather, which wasn't finished being stitched yet, and there's still a hole that's still left open. So says the Braisa, Ava Pisha Megabelis, remind me, even though it could actually contain pomegranates, the hole is not so big, still Tyra, that pouch is still pure, it's not considered a kli that could be Mekabel Tumah, because the work wasn't done on it yet, it has to be first concluded. But let's say Tfara, let's say it was already stitched up, and the work was done, and therefore it had a title of kli that was designated on it. And then, but Vinikra, then it tore after that, says the Braisa, Shiyur Kameitsa, remind him. So now the measurement is that of, if it's going to remove, if a pomegranate will fall out of it. Meaning if the tear was so big that a pomegranate would fall out, then it's mitar. But if it would maintain that a pomegranate would stay inside of it, even though there's a tear, it would be tummy, because it doesn't lose its designation of a vessel until it has such a big hole that even pomegranates would fall out of it. Which, that's how much a vessel of a regular person would do it, that he would keep big stuff inside of it, like the size of a pomegranate. So that's the measurement of becoming tummy. He says, and this is the point we want to bring out, that no, the measurement of what would be considered a big enough tear that would make it not a kli anymore, that it's tar, it cannot be mekabel tumah because it's not a vessel, is when it would fall out of it, kipkiyas shel shasi, like a ball of warp thread, which that's normally what such a chemis, like such a pouch, would be used for, because it says a pouch not normally used for produce. And generally, a ball of warp thread is big, which it's achas mi'arba, it's 1/4 b'mana ben arbaim slaim. When you have a mana that's 40 slaim, 1/4 of that, which is a weight of 10 slaim, is how big that ball of warp thread would be. And if it's that big the hole, then it's not going to be clean anymore. But one thing we see is that we see the Tana utilizing in its description what type of a mana. A mana that's 40 slaim, so you see that a Tana could talk about such a mana, and therefore it's not difficult that Rav was also, and therefore it's not contradicting his teachings, and so too for Reb Daisa, that when he said mana pras, it was actually not just a mana of 25 slaim, it's a mana of 40 slaim.